Chris, you want to just briefly introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Chris Kavanagh, and I am an alumni of the iSchool. I graduated from the MSIM program in 2005, so I still have to always think about that. I currently work at the Institute for Systems Biology as an information systems architect. My position there is about 2 years old now, 2.5 years old. I kind of been at the ISB, the Institute for Systems Biology, for about 6 years now and sort of kind of grown through the ranks. So I started off working for one particular group, sort of like just handling databases and so forth. And kind of moved on forward. And while I was actually in this program, towards the tail end of the MSIM program, I started kind of poking around the institute because I saw a need for a way to sort of centralize the bioinformatics and informatics in general services. So we didn't have anything to that degree. So basically got, you know, a little entrepreneurial flair and started, kind of poking around. And other people started becoming interested, and funding started to become available. So it just basically took off, and we formed the group that I'm currently working in.
Thinking about new graduates, you know, they're always looking for positions like yours, which took you some time to get into. Right. So if you were talking to a new graduate and telling them what you would be looking for a new hire into your organization, what kinds of qualities would you be looking for? What were the characteristics of those people?
Right. I think in my particular position and in my group, there is definitely a background in biology, or at least some understanding of biology is helpful. But, you know, honestly, biology is sort of almost the last thing that we look at. We tend to look at people that are technically oriented, that can both understand software in general and information as well. Basically, it's more important to be able to have sort of an understanding of how to both model information, how to work with information, than it is to have a particular understanding of biology. Since biology moves forward constantly, you basically just have to look forward instead of, you know, kind of understanding that much of the history. So,
what I don't know if you're hiring right now, but if you were, what kinds of positions would you be looking for?
We do tend to hire mostly software-oriented positions. It's always been my push to hire more people that are more just in information-centric perspectives. Basically, we do need the gamut. The software becomes the immediate need. The long-term perspective of how to integrate information is vital. It's always more difficult to actually sort of make that sell, and that's sort of one of the places where I'm glad I have my background in the iSchool. I'm glad the iSchool's there, and more information schools are popping up. People are starting to understand that information is its own science, it's its own thing. Software is basically just a way of manipulating that information. That perspective is starting to leak, into the, at least into my organization. And
so would you say that a new employee needs to have a pretty solid technical background to be able to move into this area in combination with the understanding of how information is?
Yeah, I'd say in the area of informatics in general, beyond just bioinformatics, it's the technical background is pretty vital.
What components would you consider important?
I could speak for my organization, and in those components, I'd say being able to understand the patterns in information, being able to model that and those patterns, and that frequently involves sort of a either an understanding in, you know, kind of computer science itself, or an ability to work with computer scientists in such a way that you understand what they're doing. Specifically, when they go to implement certain algorithms, you understand what they're doing, but in the context of information flow. So,
okay, what kind of tools do you expect new employees to have at their hands, and how much do you actually expect them to learn when they get there?
The set of tools is really, it's pretty diverse, and it's hard to pin down because, again, there's not there's not a particular set of tools that are used de facto in bioinformatics. There are, you know, certain software libraries, there are methodologies. Students that come in with an understanding of statistics, you know, that's really quite helpful. Understanding of computer science, that's also quite helpful. Of informatics in itself, of course, that's very helpful. And, you know, biology as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of skills that sort of, you know, play out in this field. Yeah. And nobody's expected to be an expert in any one of them. But to have exposure in different areas, because honestly, you'll start off on a different project and have to sort of learn a whole bunch of different skills in order to complete the project. So it's a background in certain areas is quite valuable, but you're going to start to fill those in as projects call for them.
So to follow on to that, what would you recommend as far as continuing education or professional development for somebody who's working in this area?
I would respond to follow your interests. Again, the field is pretty diverse. If you have an interest in computer science, you know, keep that interest in computer science. If you have an interest in statistics, follow that. Follow your passions, because this field can sustain, you know, people with multiple different backgrounds and multiple different strengths, and it needs the diversity. It is a field where you don't necessarily need to pigeonhole or tailor yourself to the field. The field will tailor itself around you. So,
and what ways would you recommend to people to sort of keep those skills up, to learn new things, to sort of foster the interest they have and build them over time?
Yeah. First off, I firmly believe that all education is lifelong. You know, you basically, if there's a skill that you're deficient in, learning on the job is sort of education in itself. You know, as far as formal education goes, I think speaking, you know, for myself, I think the iSchool was tremendously valuable in being able to understand the entire framework of the organization. The MSIM program itself kind of allowed me to say, I'm here, but I see everything around me and I know how to interact with everything around me. You know, I kind of see the organizational pattern. So, you know, that's very helpful as sort of a framework in which to kind of grow. But there are certain areas where, you know, constantly I'm like, I don't know enough about this, or I don't know enough about this. And so I will have to kind of chase it down. And, you know, so whether education is a book or it's, you know, graduate school, I think it's very, very necessary to, again, know what you want out of your own career arc and strategically sort of plan for that. And education is a stepping stone to getting where you want to go.
Are there other resources that people could use, professional networks, associations?
There are professional networks and associations. It's kind of unbelievably scant in the world of bioinformatics. There's a couple groups that are going on right now, one of which has actually been organized through my group. And there are professional affiliations and so forth as well. Honestly, I don't lean much towards them because, again, there's not a sort of local concentration of them, so I can't interact. If I can't interact with an organization, it doesn't pose a lot of value for me. But this discipline is growing in this area rapidly, and so that concentration will increase and more of those groups will be available. Again, if it's an asset to an individual, if it's a value, if you can actually interact with it, I think it's very valuable.
So we talked a little bit about the hard skills, the technology skills, and you mentioned that some of the most useful lessons you've taken out of the MSIM program were around understanding the organization, the softer side. What kinds of soft skills do you look for in people that are coming into your organization? What sorts of knowledge and abilities?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. As I thought about this, I thought about interviews that I and my team have conducted, and what I personally look for is problem-solving skills. And that, for what that means for me, is I'd like to see somebody take a problem and not necessarily figure it out, but to start to work through it and then turn to the team and help the team, draw the team in as a resource to try to figure out the problem. That's what I find most valuable in a candidate, is somebody that doesn't necessarily know the answers, but knows how to work through the answers with others Because ultimately, again, this is an area that's so diverse. Nobody has the answers in any particular area. If you don't know how to interact with other individuals, you can't excel in this area.
So problem-solving, teamwork, communication abilities.
Yeah.
Okay. What kinds of advice would you give to someone who was interested in going into your area and wanted to start out with it? What say, an early entry, someone who's just graduating from college, say, what kinds of things would you recommend them to do?
Right. I'd say at this point, I would say as early as possible, try to get an internship either at my company, the ISB, or at, you know, any of a number of different companies in this area, Fred Hutch, that somewhere that kind of aligns to your own interests. Because every work environment is so, again, diverse, and the field is not united under, even though there are bioinformatics programs out there, there are informatics programs, at the iSchool itself, I think that people will find that once they hit an organization, it means something different for every organization. So to try to figure out what it looks like in a particular organization and how you can develop your skill set to meet the expectations of that company, if that's where you want to work, I think that would be valuable to try to figure it out as early as possible. I wish I can give sort of the concrete steps of start here, go there, but again, it's such a diverse field, and strengths are drawn from a number of different areas. So
the problem solving extends into your own job search, really. Having that capability.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you find for new people entering your group are the things that are hardest for them to understand, to work with, to handle in terms of the job?
I'd say this applies in general, not just to the ISB, but some team dynamics are a really difficult one, especially if you're a new hire and you're coming from, an education background, and this, your first job, learning how to actually deal with your team in such a way that you have to try to find the balance between having initiative in order to, once you have a particular project, to try to go out and figure out how to actually accomplish that project. But at the same time, if you're working with a team, to keep the team informed about what you're doing and draw the team in as resources. I'm very, very team oriented, and I think it's necessary to have that balance between being enthusiastic but not being overly ambitious to the point where you exclude everybody else. I think it's vitally important to understand that even if you excel in one particular area, in this field you're not going to excel in every area. You're going to be drawing on different people at different times, and you need to foster those relationships.
So you touched on one element that seems to be a critical piece of knowledge for entering people with, and that's project management. Do you see that as being a major skill set, knowledge base that people need to bring, or is that something that they would be more likely to learn as they do projects?
I think project management is one of those disciplines that you can learn the fundamentals, but it definitely looks different once you're in the field. You're going to enrich whatever your background is, whatever your training is. You'll definitely enrich it in the field. We do have a project manager on my team, but in reality, we actually do sort of ad hoc trade off that role. Since we have our own projects, you wear many hats. You're going to be a software developer, you're going to be a project manager, you're going to be, an information manager, you're going to be a biologist. You're just, you wear all the hats. I think that's actually quite valuable because, again, it sort of enriches an individual, and you're not going to be, you may have one key duty, but you're going to need to actually interact with people that have other key duties. So
it sounds like another soft skill that's pretty important is the ability to manage change and to know how to move through change effectively within yourself and an organization as well.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. The change management aspect is really quite vital. I think, as you pointed out, within your own kind of career arc, within yourself, you have to keep yourself grounded in what do I need to actually get done. At the same time, you need to figure out how does this fit into the larger picture. I think it robs a lot of enthusiasm from people when they don't get to see the big picture, if they're just basically working project to project and they don't understand how the connection is or what the evolution is. It robs a lot from one's enthusiasm and one's ambition, rightfully so. And that's, you know, that's the balance between, you know, a good manager kind of keeping you involved, but it's also, the impetus is also on oneself to sort of understand where one fits into the bigger picture. Because, you know, you do have a career arc. You're probably not going to just be at one company your entire life, and you want to develop your skills in relation to both that organization and your entire career at the same time. So, yeah, change management and balance.
Yeah. So speaking about change, what kinds of changes do you think are happening in the world itself around you that are influencing the kinds of things that you do?
Bigger, stronger, faster. That's all I could say. There's just going to be more and more data. More data is coming online all the time. It's not only the sheer magnitude of the data itself, but the complexity of the semantics that need to be dealt with. You know, biology moves forward. It's a very technical field. Entire ways of dealing with data sort of revolve around a particular technology. So some new technology will come online, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have this new format of data. You have to figure out how to actually integrate it. It's probably not standardized. It's probably proprietary. So, you know, how does this fit into the big picture? You know, and as soon as you figure that out, I guarantee that will be eclipsed by some other technology that comes online. So it's a very interesting field.
So biology, modern biology, it deals with massive sets of data. It's not going out in the field and watching rabbits anymore.
So
how much intersection do you have with other fields that deal with massive data sets like physics, astronomy? Some of these, you know, disciplines that have been collecting huge, huge data sets for many, many years and trying to figure out what to do with them. Does biology look at those? Do you have any kind of learnings from each other that you could share, or is that...
There's not a tremendous amount of overlap. It's a rather complex and diverse field, so even within biology, there are biophysics, you know, biophysicists that sort of, you know, look at the more physical reactions of the cell. But, you know, for the most part, we deal in the world of, you know, just genetics and, you know, kind of expression data, how genes actually, you know, express gene products, proteins, and so forth, and how those proteins sort of interact to basically cause or withhold disease. So, there's not a tremendous amount of bleedings into the more fundamental sciences, although, you know, clearly they have contributed to the field.
Right. But, do you think in terms of the data itself and the analysis and presentation and exploration of that data, that there might be some crossovers there?
Yeah, in that sense, yes. I think there are definitely patterns. I don't think anybody understands what those patterns are. I just sort of, you know, we just had a meeting yesterday where we were talking about, we're developing a conference to actually come into the ISB, and we were talking about, what is this conference going to look like? Is it going to have a whole bunch of information-oriented people there, and, you know, the biology and software-oriented people? And I think that in the sciences, or sort of in the virtual sciences where you're dealing with a lot of, you know, data, just information, and I think it still falls down to, there are, you know, carpenters that do the job, there are architects that understand what the patterns are, and there are engineers that understand what the rules are, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, basically in order to connect the patterns. So, you know, the software developers are basically the carpenters just putting stuff together. The architects are trying to figure out, you know, what does this information look like compared to this information? Can we standardize it? Is there standard formats? Is there a common vocabulary? What do the semantics look like? And the engineers themselves are basically, you know, kind of looking over those different patterns and saying, well, how do we connect everything together? How do we actually make it work? How do we make it faster? How do we make it robust? So it's, that to me appears how the field sort of breaks down. So
I like the analogy to those three roles. I think that really helps to show different pathways that somebody might be interested in following.
Yeah, and there's no need to actually dedicate yourself to one pathway. You know, if you're interested in all three, that's great. As a matter of fact, you know, I think everybody in my team has worn, you know, at least one of those hats, you know, it probably all three at the same time. Yeah, so.
So just in terms of growth, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you think that this area is growing fairly rapidly. What sorts of opportunities do you think will be coming up in the next 2 years, 5 years for people who might be interested in this area to move into?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, you know, to look that far forward and, you know, really have a feel technically for what the world will look like, because, again, new technologies come online all the time. But the thing that I can be pretty sure of is that biology, and I think most of the sciences, I'd argue with most of industry, has sort of moved from this area where you pose the hypothesis and then you go out and test it. You collect the data and then you, you know, look at the data and see if it helps to affirm your hypothesis. It's moved from that discrete field to a world where you have all this data, you draw on the data, you analyze, mine the data, you can see patterns within that data that may be a hypothesis that may actually lead you to a conclusion immediately. So it's, the world has shifted from this area where we ask questions first and go gather data to an area where we have tremendous amounts of input and we try to see what we can derive from that input. So biology, I think, is only going in that direction farther and faster.
Do you ever read a book called The Advent of the Algorithm by David Berlin?
I have not.
It talks about exactly what you just described.
All right.
That, you know, we've kind of had this Cartesian model of the world that we've been looking at in terms of, you know, very formal structures and being able to test against those structures. And with the advent of huge masses of data, we're actually now looking at patterns rather than actually testing previously formulated ideas that we can push against, which is a very interesting concept. It really changes the kinds of ways that people would look at the world.
And information in itself is just becoming so... It's becoming more and more complex, so the way that we just design our software to understand and, you know, interact with it is in itself complex, but it's not too much of an exaggeration to say it's taking on a life of its own.
Yeah.
It is becoming so complex that, you know, we don't understand even how we're analyzing it half the time. It's just...
Interesting. So it's an element of curiosity that's an important factor in the personality of somebody who's interested in this area.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, again, it's... It's getting to the point where we have so much information that it is almost like just the richness of meandering through our physical world. I mean, there's so many things to interact with. There's so many connections, and we're starting to understand what the connections look like. Mm-hmm. All these, you know, points of data are ultimately kind of embedded in this huge network. And that network, you know, once you start to see the lines that connect that network, you start to understand a lot more. You know, data is not just something you throw into a database. You know, information is, you know, once you start to see the connections, you know, between within the biological world, within the social world, as soon as you start to see these graphs, you start to appreciate how they impinge on each other. So I think that's it's almost beyond, you know, sort of the technical world where it's, you know, you're kind of into the world of almost storytelling. Once you can understand the connections, it's just, there is a beauty to it.
So interesting. So storytelling, do you think someone with a liberal arts background, for instance, would be a good candidate to move into this field?
I honestly don't think that anybody really has a choice. I mean, I don't think that it's, you know, particularly the field of biology that's the only one that's sort of suffering or maybe enthusiastically embracing the massive amount of data that's, you know, coming down the pike. You know, industry definitely has this has a lot of data to work with as well. You know, there's plenty of people that mine plethora of data. You know, Google's sort of trying to unite the world, and it does bring online a lot of data, and there's a lot of interesting interactions. So, I don't see it as necessarily a barrier, and I don't see that you need necessarily a technical background in order to work in this area. I guess my argument is that this area is going to be the only area to work in. We're all going to have to get used to dealing with all this data. And certainly lots of people will take different perspectives on, you know, how to interact with that data. So, I think there's room for all. There has to be.
Yeah, good. What do you think are the common misperceptions people entering this field have about the work, and how do they then have to kind of be adjusted as they move into it?
You know, I honestly, I wish I knew what those misconceptions were, because again, the field is sort of so new that, you know, largely it's basically 5 years old where people would start connecting informatics with an actual career. Mm-hmm. And since I came from my original background was, undergraduate degrees in biology and biochemistry, and then I went back to school for computer science and ultimately for a graduate degree in through the MSim program at the iSchool. And so I'm sure my career path is different than if I were sort of going through college right now looking towards a career in informatics. So I don't really know what the misconceptions are, people sort of hitting the field. I'd be very curious as to what they are.
Do you find within your own group people coming in having different ideas about what the job is and what it actually is when they get there? Or are they pretty well grown through the organizations that they're...
I'd say even within my organization, there's definitely... there's still this evolution between people that... they're sort of working on software. So they're software developers, but they don't understand necessarily. It's not their main focus that they're actually working on information. So I think that's sort of one of the gifts of the iSchool and people that sort of concentrate on information, that even if they're doing the same task, they're concentrating on their outlook is completely different. Their perspective is, we're here manipulating the information and trying to draw that together and trying to solve problems, tell the story, as it were, instead of just basically create the software to do X, Y, or Z. That's an important part. We couldn't do this without software. But, at the same time, I don't think it's the main story.
So it's really stepping outside of the particular task you're engaged in and looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Trying to understand how that task is contributing to that bigger picture.
Right. And I don't think that's necessarily a requirement to work in this field, but it's definitely a strength. I think that's a strength in general, no matter what kind of company you're looking at, to be able to understand holistically what you're doing means that you can navigate your way through it.
So where do you see yourself going in 5 years?
That's a good question. I really do love the field. I love being a technical person. I love interacting with the information. I love building software. And I love understanding what the actual patterns are. So, at this point, I really just see myself kind of getting, becoming more of a master at what I actually do. I'm not sure there's an end point to that game at all, but, I'm kind of enjoying the ride. So
there's certainly enough there to keep you busy.
There's plenty to keep busy. Yeah, it's evolving at your feet. So, you can't hold still, that's for sure. You got to keep moving forward. So, I guess that's another attribute. If you're, a person that expects a certain slot, sure, you could find that slot. But it's going to be hard to actually keep up with the field, mm-hmm. because the field is just, it's not well defined yet. And maybe we won't ever be able to define it. Maybe it's just so diverse that it's just, again, it's a virtual world. How do you necessarily say navigating it is, much different than navigating our real world? There's just so many different ways of doing that. So
it's another element of our characteristic that you might be looking for or think might be valuable is the comfort with risk-taking ability. Is that something that is involved, or is it...
I wouldn't even look at it necessarily as the from the perspective of risk. It's more of a curiosity. You definitely have to be willing to both follow your own path and to want to dig into the problem. If you're jazzed by what the actual problem is, you're going to do well in this field. If you're going to want to dig... Again, it's not necessarily so much a matter of particular skills as it is the willingness to acquire whatever skills you need to in order to get the problem solved. So, especially in science, there's no such thing. We kind of have this joke. It's an odd world that as soon as you basically solve a problem, you're done with it. You're not making a commodity out of that. It's a world of discovery. So everything you do is geared towards framing the problem and, you know, essentially writing the paper, being like, okay, this is our contribution. And then you just set it aside and start over. So there is no sort of like, you know, trying to get the new, you know, a larger customer base, or it's a different perspective, but you definitely have to be jazzed by the ability to sort of work on a specific project, kind of push it aside and work on something else. And that's going to mean, you know, it is kind of fast paced. I mean, you're going to have to acquire skills. You're going to have to interact with a lot of people that understand things that you don't.
So what kinds of things that you did in the MSIM program here at the iSchool actually helped you to become a better employee, a better contributor at your workplace?
Right. Yeah, I'd say definitely for the MSIM program in particular, it wasn't particular technical training in a certain area so much as it was the framework for actually looking across an organization to be able to actually kind of flesh out what your particular job is against that framework. So to have that framework is really quite valuable if one wants to see the organization, you know, kind of soup to nuts, just understand how the different layers of the organization interact, how one might be able to navigate that or inspire change within the organization. In order to do that, you have to understand the organizational dynamics. You have to have some way of actually framing that. So I'd say that my education at the iSchool doesn't necessarily help me on the day-to-day as far as kind of getting projects done. I'm drawing on, you know, sort of what I've learned on the job and from other education for that. But it certainly did help me to, you know, be one of the founding members of this current group. It gave me the ability to kind of focus any kind of entrepreneurial kind of ideas I had within the organization and find ways of kind of bringing that to light or making those entrepreneurial inspirations, you know, something tangible.
Yeah. Yeah. So leadership.
One can call that leadership, yeah. So it's beyond leadership. It's a way of actually just to focus the leadership to inspire change within an organization. I mean, I think that's before the MSIM program, I would have tried to, you know, say this is the way that I see something should be done and try to cram it down the throats of the organization, you know, the respective throats of the organization. I didn't necessarily appreciate nuance. I didn't, you know, appreciate the culture. I didn't appreciate what drives individuals, what motivates individuals at different levels within the organization. Once you start to appreciate that or have the ability to appreciate that, inspiring change becomes possible. I'm not going to say easy. Possible.
Well, how would you compare the MSIM degree to other degrees in terms of what you gained from it and how you see that playing out in your professional life?
Yeah, I was saying that I had talked to a bunch of friends that are either employed or unemployed, kind of looking around the area, and they were talking about education and how they view their own education, graduate educations, as sort of like just a necessary thing that proves to employers that you can kind of stick with something, and you know, that proves something but minimal. But I feel something completely different about my education at the iSchool. I feel that the MSIM program really did prepare me to work in a way where I can see the framework, I understand what interactions are, I can it allows me to kind of view the organization as a dynamic entity. Plus, you know, worked on so many different projects with different cohorts of people. Some students you get along with great, some you don't get along with great, but you always have a project that you need to finish and it needs to be on scope. So there's a lot of confidence that gets built just by finishing actual projects. And so I do feel that my education, my graduate education, was quite valuable in that, you know, I don't use it necessarily in a technical way every day, but I use it as sort of, it's the sextant, you know, a way to just kind of navigate my way through the dynamic nature of the organization.